Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, spiritual relationship healing expert, helping men and women heal their bodies, their relationships, and their lives through love, author of the popular book Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, and the sexy romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, both available at Amazon.com. and director of HealthyBabyBoomersNetwork.com. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter how old you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Are you over 50 and broke? It is not too late in your life to create a healthy mind, body, and pocket. When you have all three, you have hit the trifecta and everything else seems to fall right into place. Once you are over 50, your body changes and you need to start paying more attention to your health. You can't get away with the same things that you can get away with when you're much younger. Today's guest was broke and knew he had to do something new, so he used the computer to develop his mind and his pocketbook, and then he focused on his body. Since money was scarce, joining a gym was out of the question. So he bought a rubber exercise ball and developed a routine to keep his body in shape. In today's talk, Chris Vacca will share his tips for creating your own trifecta for your life. So I would like to welcome you, Chris.
Thank you, Dr. Erica. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. As long as the technology works.
Yeah, yeah. Let's keep our fingers crossed on that one.
Yeah. So I'd like to start right away by asking you a question. You had a successful mortgage business, and then all of a sudden, bam, it was gone. So what was going through your mind at that point? That happened to a lot of people, not just you.
You can't even explain it when it happens to you. I mean, my mind was going through probably every gamut of negative thoughts that you could think of. I mean, you know, losing everything when you're at any age is bad enough, but you know, when you're so close to retirement age, and all of a sudden everything is gone, fear was the biggest emotion that I remember. What am I going to do? Where am I going to live? How am I going to survive? What am I going to do when I reach 65? I mean, every negative thought just kept going on and on and on and on through my head. It was pretty scary. It was pretty scary indeed.
So how did you get out of that thinking? I mean, what happened?
Well, what happened is you just come to a point when you look at you, at least it happened to me that way, where I just look at myself in a mirror and said, Chris, you better start doing something with your life instead of just, you know, crying about everything, because crying ain't gonna solve anything. And you just got to get to a point where you just kick yourself in the ass and you say, hey, come on, let's get doing something here. You know, you're still a young man, you know, even though I was 57 at the time, and I got a lot of things to accomplish. And you just convinced yourself on and on and on, just keep telling you things that. And, you know, reading a lot of motivational books and just getting your mind prepared for what happened. It's scary. It was scary. I have to admit, it really was.
Well, it's scary because you really don't know how you're going to bring in money, and we need money in this world. But we also need health. I mean, and you discovered that. So
yeah, well, money was
said,
money was the biggest factor for me, because I tell you, I had nothing. I mean, I not only lost my business, I tried to keep it going when the housing meltdown hit. I tried to keep it going by using what savings I had, and I maxed out my credit cards, because I figured I'd ride out the storm and maybe everything would come back, but it never did. And so my biggest motivator was money. I needed money, like we all do, to survive. But, I had to find a way to make money. That was my number one goal at that point.
So you said you read some motivational books. And what did you get out of reading that?
Well, I'll tell you. You know which ones really, really motivated me? Was reading biographies of famous people. And you would be, throughout history, it doesn't have to be anybody today, even though one of my favorite guys is Donald Trump. I read a lot of his books. But throughout history, if you look, just read of all the people that became rich and famous or, whatever, 9 out of 10 of them failed at least once before they reached success. And many of them failed 3 or 4 times before they actually reach success.
Well, it's true, because one of the qualities that it takes to really be successful is to be a risk taker. And when you take risk, especially someone who goes all out, you can lose. You don't always win at it.
Well, that's one thing I really came to realize. I pretty much had an advantage, because I lost everything. I mean, my business, I was evicted, my car was repossessed. I mean, I lost everything. So taking a chance meant really nothing to me because I had nothing to lose anyway.
That's really interesting because I've noticed that there are people who come from other countries, that were escaping from another country, and they come to America and they succeed. And I think it's that mentality that they really have nothing to lose. They've already lost it all.
Yeah, I mean, my grandparents came here in, early 1900s, just like everybody else. And my grandfather told me he came, he had like $47 in his pocket when he got off the boat at Ellis Island. And coming to a new country with $47 in your pocket, you got to be pretty brave to do something like that. To leave everything you have in one land and come to another land, I mean, it takes a lot of courage to do something like that.
But it also takes courage when you're down and out like that to, go out there and do it. So you did say that at one point you had to move in with your ex-wife. So what was that like?
Oh, gee, well, as you can imagine, she was my ex-wife, so. But the thing is that luckily, we kept on good terms. I mean, we were fairly friendly because we had 3 children. So we pretty much kept on friendly terms. And more or less, she knew what was going on in the market with my business. So it wasn't any big surprise to her that, my business went down. But I'll tell you one thing. That day that I came to the door, actually, it was my house. She got it in there. She got it in the divorce, so I was just coming home. But that day that I was standing at the door with my bag in my hand, and I tell you, it was probably the lowest point of my life, how I felt. I felt like a complete and utter failure. At that point, I had no clue what I was going to do with my life. And it was humiliating. To have to go through something like that, but it was either that or live under a bridge. So, the choice was pretty clear.
Right. And also, I'm thinking as I'm listening to you that people who start out, they grow up very poor. It's not as humiliating to a person who was always poor and they're getting out of it and then they lose again. It's much more humiliating to someone who had a lot of money and was doing fine and had a certain image of, you know, I'm successful, and then to lose it.
Well, I'll tell you, just to give you an idea and maybe to your audience how hard I was hit, I went 1 year, I was making over $100,000 a year. The next year after the housing meltdown, I made like $19,000. So it was a big drop for me, real big drop. And you know, when you're making, you know, $100,000 a year, you're living like you're making $100,000 a year. So to drop from $100,000 to $19,000, that's pretty traumatic, as you can imagine.
You can't afford like little things that you never worried about, toothpaste or anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All
I remember the first thing that I remember going is the cable. You know, I can't afford to pay for the cable anymore, so that goes. You know, and then little by little, you realize that, you know, I'm 2 months behind rent. What am I going to do? There's nothing I could do. So.
Well, I think there's more people going through that than most of us realize.
There is.
People,
as I progressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, as I progressed and got into the things that I'm doing, I realized that, you know, because one of the things I thought, oh, gee, why does this happen to me, 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 me? But as I got into it, as time went by, I realized that I wasn't alone. There are thousands, maybe millions of people out there that maybe not lost a business, but maybe lost their job or, you know, had to downsize or something like that. So it's something that was going through the country at the time, and you know, it hurt a lot of people.
So what were some of the obstacles you had to overcome?
Well, the first thing was my own mind, okay? I had to get all the negativity out. I mean, that's the biggest thing for, I think, that anybody is starting over again. You got to clear your mind. You got to get rid of all the negativity, and you just got to start fresh. Start really fresh, and since I was in, you know, my ex-wife's house, and like I say, my car is repossessed, and where I live, it's not a big metropolitan area. There's no buses, subways, or anything like that. So I was pretty much stuck in the house,
yeah.
And the only thing that I had really was the computer. So I sort of turned to that, you know, because I had sent out after I moved in with my ex-wife, I started to send out resumes. You know, I must have sent out 100 resumes, and I was getting a lot of nothing in return.
Yeah.
So I turned to the computer, even though I really didn't know much about it. And the biggest obstacle was learning the computer, learning
yeah,
all the technology.
That's a huge block for a lot of people that are older, because we didn't grow up with it.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of people ask me, they say, well, you had your own mortgage business. You should have known the computer. I say, well, the only thing I knew on a computer was to fill out a loan application, fill it out, and play solitaire. And that was pretty much the extent of my knowledge on the computer at that point. So it was like learning a whole new thing was hard for me. And, you know, it little by little I developed. But as I sat on the computer and I started doing my research, I found out that there's over $4 billion, that's billion would it be, $4 billion a year generated over the Internet. And that just blew my mind. I never realized the power that the Internet had. And I said to myself, you know, $4 billion, I said, I got to get me a little piece of that, you know. And that's when I decided, I'm gonna do what I can on this Internet.
But I have to say, an awful lot of people, I've been in a lot of groups, and I've done a lot of online marketing stuff, and a lot of people are struggling. So how did you come up with your idea? And just tell about your idea and what you've done.
Well, as I progressed and I started building websites, I had 1, 2, 3 of them up. The thing that really motivated me was it took me about almost a year to get my first check for my endeavors on the Internet. It was like about 8 months. And I remember the day I got that check, it was for $34.
Wow.
Now, a lot of people would have said $34 for all the time I spent on this. But that $34 hit me, and it says, you know, if I can make $34 doing this, I can make $340. And if I can make $340, I can make $3,400 And if I can make 3,400, I can make 34,000. And that's how my mind was going at that time.
And it's true.
I just proved to myself, when I got that check for $34, it proved to me that I can do it and I can make money on the Internet if I apply myself. And that's what kept me going. Funny story, when my wife got home from work, that night, and I said, hey, you know, I got my first check, and her eyes lit up. You know, she thought it would be something big when I showed her $34. I thought she was gonna shoot me. That's all.
Right,
that's all $34.
But this is one of the problems, a big problem for people who are attempting and being entrepreneurs on the Internet is their spouse or person that they're living with, parent, spouse, friend, roommate, you know, making fun of them and putting it down and telling them to get a real job. That happens a lot.
Yeah, that's true. As a matter of fact, in my book, Age Should Never Be an Excuse for Not Succeeding, I devote a whole chapter to that. And the basis of the whole chapter is when you're starting something new, just keep your mouth shut. Don't go out, don't go saying anything to anybody, because even though that, you know, your family and friends, they do love you and they want you to succeed, but they think they're helping you by saying no. They think they're protecting you in some way, you know, and they say, oh, that's terrible, oh, that's this, oh, that. Just keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything to anybody. Do what you got to do, and believe me, you'll be a lot better off, because even though they don't mean to discourage you and hurt you in any way, but they just wind up doing it. It's just human nature.
Well, that's why if you connect with other people online who are attempting to do the same type of thing, they can be supportive.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's how I developed my website, Over 50 and Broke. That's how I got started in that, by conversing with somebody else that was in the same situation. You know, we started to contact each other back and forth, because he had a website up. And, you know, he told me his story. I told him my story. And he told me, he said, Chris, he says, you know, you got a really, really good story there. You might motivate a lot of people. He said, you should, you know, really put up a website and tell people what happened. Maybe you might help a few people along the way. And I thought about it, and I said, you know, that's not a bad idea. And that's when I developed my website, Over 50 and Broke.
Yeah, and one of the things they say is that your biggest problem or your biggest failure is like your genius. That's what can help you create something and live your purpose in life.
Yeah, yeah. What's that old saying that problems are opportunities in disguise?
Right.
Yeah, I think that's the saying. Yeah, you might have heard of that. Problems are opportunities in disguise. It's how you handle every problem that attacks you, that makes you. I mean, you know, if something happens to you, you could sit in a corner and cry about it, or, you know, you could attack that problem head on and try to turn that problem into a positive. And that's the hardest part, I think, when you in my situation, whether you lost a business, a job, or, you know, whatever, if you're starting over again at a later age, is getting your mind back in the positive mode. That was the biggest thing, I think, from many people.
Yeah, and I see that you have a statement in one of the chapters, no one ever said life was going to be fair, that whiners are not winners. Talk about
that
a little bit.
Yeah. I let people know that, hey, you know, hey, something bad happened to you. Hey, I understand that. A lot of things happen to people. A lot of bad things happen to good people. But, you know, like I say, sitting and crying about it is not going to do anything. Complaining about it, crying to your wife, your husband, or your friends, or whatever, that's not going to do anything. You got to get up, stand up on your feet, kick yourself in the butt like I did, and start doing something. And that's the only way you're going to turn yourself around.
And also start doing something different. Learn something. A lot of people over 50, even younger than that, they feel as though I'm too old to learn something new.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, that's very true. I get that a lot. Because I also do seminars. And a lot of times after the seminars, you know, people come around and talk to me and ask me questions, which I think, I love that part of a seminar. I think that's the best part for me.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised how many times I hear, well, I'm too old to start something new. I'm too, you know, it's, I hear every excuse in the book. And I, even in the book, I devote a chapter to it. I call There's a Disease that's going around the country that a lot of people have, and it's called excuse-itis. Okay,
yeah,
they make
like
excuses
that.
For, yeah, they make excuses for everything why they're not, you know, succeeding in life. You know, I'm too short, or I'm too tall, or I'm bald, you know, one leg is shorter than the other, or, you know, whatever. I heard every excuse
read,
in the book.
I read a statement recently that, oh, I know what it was, on a TED Talk. Someone was talking about the one quality that differentiated people who succeed and those who don't succeed, and it was not talent or special abilities or successful families. It was grit, G-R-I-T, grit, which means perseverance and steadiness and patience and just keep on going through all the hardships.
It's very true. I told you, it took me like almost a year, about 8 months before I got my first check. And during that whole period, that 8 months, it was probably the most aggravating and frustrating period in my life trying to learn that computer. I mean, there were days I wanted to just pick it up and stomp on it and smash it. That's how aggravated I was. But
no,
I kept going at it and going at it. I mean, no. Hey, for people our age, you know, my kids, they know the computer left and right. But you know, for me, and it was just, it was hard. It was very, very hard. I mean, you know, there's still a lot I don't know, believe me. But
well, no matter how
I learned
much you
what I
there's so much you can know. And as you get bigger in this industry online, you have other people doing a lot for you. You know, and then
yeah.
you can
yeah.
hire people to handle some of these details. It's
yeah, and you
complex.
You know what? One of the things I run across, because, you know, I try to help as many people as I can, and the older people I find that when you tell them that you can make money online, start a business online, they're sort of afraid of it. They're afraid of they don't believe it, because to them, like even when I was, you had to have a store, a brick and mortar, something there that if you want a business, that's a business. A store where people could come in and buy things. But once they realize, the thing that still amazes me to this day, every morning when I get up, first thing I do is check my stats for my websites and things. And I get visitors from England, from China, from Australia, from Russia. I mean,
right,
all around
amazing.
The world, people up. It's unbelievable that you could reach the whole world.
Well,
with this internet.
I did a relationship healing mastermind Google Plus Hangout, and two of the men on there were from Pakistan. You know, and they're live on a Google Plus Hangout talking about their issues with relationships and how hard it was for them in that country to meet women, because it's not like America or England where you can go around and just meet people. It was fascinating. We never had an opportunity like this before.
No, it like I say, to this day, it still amazes me that you could reach every corner of the globe just by sitting in your living room. Just sit in your living room and you could reach the whole world.
But what's amazing to me is that you did it. A lot of people struggle with this and then give up and lean on other people or lean on the government to get handouts. But you did it. So I want to just ask you something about, you talk about many subjects in your book, but one of them is not to be afraid of the F word. So what do you mean by that?
Yeah, the F word. A lot of people, when they see that, they think it's a dirty word. But it's not
well,
a dirty word.
It is kind of a dirty word.
Well, it shouldn't be, okay? People should the F word is failure, okay? People should embrace failure. Because like I said earlier, I never read of one successful, famous person that didn't have a closet full of failures before they reached that success. And I was reading this book.
And after they reach the success, they have failures along the way that
sure,
you don't hear about.
Sure, of course. You know, a lot of people, and this is another thing, a lot of people think that once you reach success, that's the end of the journey. You stop. And that's so wrong. You got to keep going because it's easy to lose that success just like you got it. I mean, success is something that's continual. Okay, you have to always be looking to improve, to better yourself, to move up.
The Academy Awards, which just happened to be recently, that someone is in some ways almost as good as their last movie. So they may have had wonderful movies, and then if they have a movie that bombs, that's a failure at that point, no matter who they are.
Yeah. And the thing is, you can't let those things get you. I was reading a book. I forgot who wrote it. But they said each failure should be considered one more step towards success.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So every time you fail, just, sweep it under the table. Forget about it. It's ancient history. Move on. Go ahead. See what you can do next.
I also find, and especially in terms of the Internet, I find that these things that I'm failing with and having so much trouble, and maybe it takes me days and I'm on the phone with people and until it gets fixed, then at some future time, if I run into a similar problem, I know how to handle it. And the next time, it's handled quickly.
So, yeah. You see, that's one thing I had to learn because when I was first learning how to navigate around the computer, I would learn how to do something. Say it took me 8 hours to learn how to do something, and then I wouldn't need it again until like maybe 3 months later. And then when I ran across it, I forgot, and I had to go back and do it again. That's why I always write things down. I always keep a pencil and pad handy to write things down because, no matter how small it is, you never know when you're going to need it again. And if you don't do something every day, you're going to forget it. So that's a little tip for everybody out there.
You have to remember where you stored the information.
yeah. there's a lot to learn, boy. Believe me, I'll tell you. But once you learn it, like I did, I mean, it's an amazing tool. It truly is.
So I have another question because you said while you were sitting there in that year, you gained weight. Yeah, I think you gained 50 pounds during that time. So how did you handle that?
Oh yeah. Oh, I hate to talk about that. After money started coming in, a little bit of money here and there, and I was sitting for a year. I wasn't doing anything, just sitting on that computer, So I gained a few pounds, and I remember looking in the mirror. There's a full-length mirror, and I just happened to look in it, and I said, "Oh God, what the hell happened to you?" And right then and there, I said, this got to end. I said, I got to do something to, I can't look like this. I just can't. I mean, not only is it not healthy, I look terrible. I look like a blimp. So I decided to do something. And at that point, I didn't leave the house much because I didn't really want to run into anybody that I knew. Even though they wouldn't say anything, I know they're thinking, gee, what the hell happened to you? How much weight did you gain, And I didn't want to run across anybody at that point. And I really couldn't afford a gym at that point either because the money was just starting to come in little by little. So I went to Walmart, looked around for the cheapest thing there, which happened to be an exercise ball. And I think it was like $18 or something like that. So I bought that. I took it home, and I started to develop my own routine. I went on a very strict diet, which I don't recommend to anybody, but all I did was eat salads, and every now and then I'd cube up some chicken breast in there, and I'd work out a half hour in the morning, half hour at night, and after a couple of months, the weight was gone. And I said, never again. Never again am I going to do that,
Well, the time is running out, so I could listen to you for a long time because you're really inspirational. But how can our listeners get in touch with you? Where should they go?
You could get over to my website, which is over50andbroke.com. That's over50andbroke.com. That's my website there. You could get on that. All my books are available, are listed there. You could go to Amazon. My books are listed there. My next book that I'm working on now happens to be what you said earlier, Hitting the Trifecta of Life, A Healthy Mind, Body, and Pocket. That's the next book I'm working on. But right now, if anybody's having trouble, you're starting over again, okay, my book, Age Should Never Be an Excuse for Not Succeeding, is available. And I think it might help you. I've got a lot of good feedback from that book that it helped a lot of people. And it might just help you out. And anything I could do to help in the meantime, my email address is on the website, okay? So if you have any problems, any questions or anything, please just have anybody contact me that way, and I'll do my best to help them if I can.
Okay, thank you. And I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, to get your free report, How to Live to 100 and Beyond. You can invite me to speak at your next event, and you can contact me directly at drericagoodstone.com. And for all you lone therapists out there, please check out my new Facebook page, Marketing Our Practices. I look forward to connecting with all of you again soon. And thank you so much for joining me today, Chris.